my idea for this part of the show was that we would come up with some songs or music that we've heard in films over the years that really kind of grabbed our attention or stayed with us for whatever reason. And it could be any sort of thing. It could be that, you know, a particular scene in a film, or it could be a, you know, a particular film in itself. But music's great when it, you know, when it hits you, when you're sitting there in the cinema and then something comes on and you think, wow, and it stays with you. And that's what, the ones that I've selected, that's what happened to me. I don't know what your selections are about.
Similarly, I received your brief a few months ago for this programme. I immediately thought about not necessarily my favourite films of all time, but the films that have stayed with me for various reasons, and one of those reasons would be because the soundtrack was just so awesome. And okay. Yeah, and so the three films that I've chosen, I mean, they do happen to be three of my, I think I'd put them in my top 20. Well, one of them I definitely, with Nell and I'd put there in my top one. There's all
top one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the other two are you know, favourites, probably because at the soundtrack was just so evocative of what the film was trying to portray and get you to feel in the cinema.
Well, my first one was really an obvious one, to be honest. It was as much about taking the mickey out of you as it was about the actual theme itself. So historically, as we know, you've not seen The Godfather until very recently. And for me, the theme tune of The Godfather, so The Godfather Waltz, is just a stunning piece of music. When you hear it, you know, just the first couple of notes, you know exactly what it is. You know exactly where it belongs. And it's just an awesome piece of music. Italian, so it reminds me of Italy. You know, you kind of get that image of Italy as soon as I hear it. So I go back to being a kid and running around the fields and all that nice stuff. You've got to remember that this was 1972, and it was written by a guy called Nino Rota. And basically, he created this song. But what I found out was that he had actually written it in 1957 and used it in another movie.
Really?
So an obscure kind of Italian movie. He received an Oscar nomination for the theme tune for the first of Godfather, but then they found out that he'd done this and they removed his nomination, basically.
Oh, what a shame.
Because, yeah, so can you imagine how gutting that must be? But because it's best original, you know, best original song.
And it wouldn't have been original.
Because it wasn't an original, yeah, exactly. So they removed his nomination. So that was the kind of interesting story behind it. But
how old would you have been when you first saw The Godfather?
Again, this is showing my age, right? So back then, back in the good old days, you either saw a movie at the cinema or you didn't see it at all.
Of course,
you didn't have videos or DVDs or anything like that, or internet or anything like that. So for me, I think I saw The Godfather when the explosion of rental video happened, which would have been the very early 80s, if I remember correctly. So your blockbusters. Well, it was actually even before blockbusters. So it was your local corner shop had... used to have video rentals, and it would have been probably, I would think, around about 1979-80. I may have seen it on TV for the first time. I can't really remember.
So you would have been young.
Oh yeah, back then, you know. Well, it's pretty similar now, actually, with the ratings. No one really cares about a lot of parents don't worry about the ratings. Kids see all sorts of things, but yeah, because it was an X certificate back then, which is an 18 now, because it was quite a violent movie, obviously. So yeah, I would have seen it young. It was almost like a film that Italians used to sit around and watch, you know, watch together. Okay, this is what it was like at home, you know. It was like back in the good old days, you know, sort things out by shooting people. not only is it a great movie, like I said, it's just the fact that the music in the movie is so reminiscent of Italy. Mm. and all the music that my parents used to listen to and used to annoy the hell out of me when they listened to it. But the theme tune is just stunning.
Been very naughty because you really were restrained, and I know you could have picked screeds and screeds of music, and I told you only to pick three, and then I went and picked five altogether. So I've got two bits of music from With Nell and I, and the first is the happier of the two pieces of music, and it's Hang Out the Stars in Indiana by Al, I think it's Bowley, and it, for me, it's the moment in the film where there's some rural idyll going on, you know, so it's these two out of work actors who are just sort of collapsing under the weight of their own ineptitude and poverty in London, and they decide to go on holiday to Uncle Monty's holiday cottage in Penrith. Hi. And one of the classic lines in the film is, "We've come on holiday by mistake." Essentially, they get to Uncle Monty's holiday cottage, and Uncle Monty is a rather predatory homosexual fat man, and who's got his eye on Marwood, who is the eye of the With Nell and I characters. So they get to his cottage in the middle of the night after breaking down, and the windscreen wipers don't work, and there's a flood, and With Nell is pissed as a fart on the front seat, and has got a terrible headache and hangover, all rolled into one. And they arrive at the cottage, and it's a lovely, solid farmhouse cottage, but there's no water, there's no electricity. It's nice. Freezing cold. It's moth-eaten.
Pretty much like all holiday homes.
Yeah, that's right. It's your classic holiday batch experience, as we call them. And so they get there, but the following morning, they're kind of trying to make the best of it, and an Al Bowley song is playing in the background, and it's a moment where they've got the fire going, they found some potatoes in the garden. Yep. There's just a moment of warmth and happiness. It doesn't last long.
Hang out the stars in Indiana, up in a sky of midnight blue. Hang out the stars in Indiana to light my way back home to you. Have every robin sing a love song, a melody just meant for two. For in my heart there'll be a love song, a song I long to sing to you. How could I find the things I sought for? No wonder they were all denied. The very happiness I fought for was right back by your side. So wait for me in Indiana, and when the long, long day is through, hang out the stars in Indiana to light my way back home to you.
So the soundtrack is a mixture of original music and stuff by Jimi Hendrix and Al Bowley and that kind of thing. And right. So this would be a piece of original music by David Dundas and Rick Wentworth. And it's the kind of the refrain that goes through the whole film. And in some parts it's the refrain is faster, and in some parts it's slower. And this one is at the very end of the film, when Marwood leaves With Nell to go and pursue an acting career, and you get the sense that he's going off to have some success, while With Nell is probably just going to sink deeper and deeper into a drunk depression. also the end scene is with Nell quoting a scene from Shakespeare, and it's just, and he's gripping a bottle of wine, and he's got this tatty umbrella, and he's got his long tweed coat on, and he's soaked, and he's drunk, and he's hungover. His friends left him, and it's just heartbreaking.
Second choice. Okay, so this is a so this is 1984 now. So I would have been 13, and I remember seeing this in the cinema. Now, this was not a cool film to go and see when I was a kid, when I was a 13-year-old. Okay, so this is Footloose, which has a fantastic soundtrack, as far as I'm concerned, and it has been noted as a classic since. But at the time, you know, you had to kind of sneak into the cinema to see it, just in case your friends saw you going in. So all sorts of great songs in this film. So there's Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner. I've been waiting for a girl like you to come into. Holding Out for a Hero, Bonnie Tyler. Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams. Let's hear it for the boy. Let's give the boy a hand. But for me, when you're sitting in the cinema, lights fade out, get the little BBFC, British Board of Film Classification thing coming up, showing what certificate it is and the name of the film. And then it fades out and the titles start for Footloose. Basically, Kevin Bacon, young guy from out of town, goes to a small town in the US, loves his dancing, but dancing's been banned in this town because there was a tragedy in the past with young kids who'd gone to a party, gone to a dance, and then on their way home they got killed because they'd had a few to drink, so this town banned dancing. So then, you know, obviously he goes to the town, he's in the school, and he can't believe that, you know, what's going on, and he's trying to get dancing back. Time, it was the start of MTV, you've got to remember. So it really, MTV kind of helped. You know, they played the videos, and obviously it was one of those ones where that link between sort of music television, songs in the film, and the film itself had all kind of melded together. And, you know, yeah, it was the first, I guess, pretty much the first populist kind of dance movie, where it had, you know, like tracks, you know, that were in the charts, or we were about to get into the charts at that time. You know, loads of movies came out after it that were trying to kind of follow that template. You can fly if you don't get loose.
Come on.
for me, it was that impact. You know, like I said, it was just that, you know, the song kicks in and the perfect sort of title sequence.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just an incidental piece of music for the film. You know, it's not part of a scene or anything like that. It's just perfect. I love it, and I'll listen to it. I'll be in the car, and Footloose will come on, and I will turn it up, and I'll do the feet thing.
At the traffic lights.
At the traffic lights, obviously. Great. Love it.
Right, well, my second choice is the main theme from Enemy of the State. Are you aware of this work?
I am aware of the movie Enemy of the State. I'm not aware of the work. You'll have to enlighten me.
Well, Enemy of the State was for me, and I don't know actually if it was, but it was for me the first film ever to explore surveillance, digital surveillance, mass surveillance, and really explore those issues in a very Hollywood way of, you know, the government's role in the mass surveillance of the general populace. When I first saw this, I was at university at Leeds, and I went to see it once. I went to see it again because I found the film really powerful, even though there's the cheesy kind of nonsensical technological jiggery pokery. For me, it really did. You know, it was the first time I'd been exposed to the mass representation of this particular issue, and have it highlighted to me as an issue. And what I love about the film is, even though there are some parts of it which are very dated, the fundamental argument, is it right that government should be able to surveil us in this way without our knowledge and use it against us when we might have done nothing wrong, is, you know, it's still as relevant today and will continue to be relevant.
So, Lucy, put your cards on the table. Is it right or isn't it right?
It's very I think the problem is it's very insidious. And you know, like that common, I call it a right of centre argument. Well, if you haven't done anything wrong, what have you got to be worried about? But it's insidious, isn't it? Our right to our own privacy is being eroded incrementally by the day. It's happening here right now. We're having a new bill going through Parliament around this issue. And I think, well, you know, we're not ever going to get these rights back. A, we won't know what we've lost until it's too late. And then how do we on earth turn that clock back? And I think in a way that's what Enemy of the State tried to explore through a crazy plot, which I still don't understand. But what I also love about the theme tune is it's incredibly complicated. I don't know whether it's complicated on a musical level, but what happens is it chops and changes. And it's through the opening sequence, which is also chopping and changing from aerial photography, spinning satellites, zooming in, zooming out, giving you this real sense of kind of claustrophobia and also expansiveness at the same time. And somehow Hans Zimmer manages to do that with the music, and that's what I love about it. What's your next choice?
So this for me is again another one of those songs that really takes me back to, you know, a time in the cinema watching a movie and kind of the impacts that it had. I was, you know, big hip hop fan in the 80s. You know, it was kind of the rise of hip hop started late 70s into the 80s. And you know, originally it was all kind of, you know, you had a few songs about you know, what was going on in society, but most of them were about, you know, were quite sort of the lyrics were quite cheesy when you break it down. But you started to get bands coming out in the sort of later part of the 80s who were doing much more hardcore sort of rapping and you know, started to bring in a lot of the swears and a lot more kind of social consciousness around, you know, what was going on in their society and their environments. And so Spike Lee released a film called Do the Right Thing, which was really about a street in Brooklyn, New York, and about the communities in that street. So you had the Hispanics, the Italians, and the African-American communities. And it was really, it was like the hottest day of the year. And it was how the heat and the tensions between the different factions kind of grew throughout the course of the day into one massive kind of explosion at the end of the film. And there is this kind of constant throughout the film, which is a character called Radio Raheem, who walks around with a massive boombox.
On the shoulder.
On the shoulder, classic, huge thing. But all he plays is one song on this boombox. Yeah. He plays no other song. And the song he plays is Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Public Enemy are just anchor personified at that time. I mean, they were coming up with some amazing songs that were really just talking about their anger and their frustration at the way things were going and society itself. Because a lot of people think Fight the Power, when you listen to the actual song, they think it's about, you know, fighting the power. So it's fighting the police and fighting the government. But if you listen to it properly, it's more about fighting the abuse of power, people who abuse power.
89 the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer, music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul.
Hey,
listen if you're missing y'all, swinging while I'm singing.
Hey,
giving what you're getting, knowing what I'm knowing, while the black band's sweating in the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want, gotta give us what we need.
Hey,
our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Again, it's a perfect, perfect song for a great movie. Again, if you haven't seen Do the Right Thing, you have to. You know, Spike Lee's done some great and not so great movies. This one is, I mean, I think it's his best movie by far. You know, it's his first movie and his best. I just think it's a great point in time commentary about what was going on in New York, and some great acting. You know, Spike Lee's in it. It's a really, really well observed piece of film. It's a powerful movie. I mean, you get to the end of it, and without spoiling it for anyone who hasn't seen it, by that point in the movie, you've got so close to all of the, even the ones that you dislike, you feel like you know them, you feel really close to them, you feel like you've just observed a day in their life.
Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! We've got to fight the power that beats!
I mean, you've seen Inception.
I have seen Inception.
Yes.
Like Inception.
I loved it. I was, again, one of those movies, a bit like Enemy of the State for me, where I sat in the cinema and thought, oh, this is what cinema's all about. The soundtrack of the film was just so enormous. Kind of got you right there, you know, in your chest. And you thought, oh my God, I think I'm going to burst out of my seat. You know, it was just so exciting. The characters were intriguing and the music just sort of carried you on this wave of action and thinking and, you know, remarkableness. And I just loved it.
I made the mistake of going to see Inception with my partner, who spent the whole film saying, "What? Why is that? What happened there?" It's one of those films that really, really have to concentrate on and really have to keep up with what's happening.
Totally.
So as soon as you lose the thread, that's it.
Just for listeners who don't know what it's about, because I thought, well, I'll try and write my own synopsis. And then I resorted to Dr. Google. So you've got a skilled thief who's the absolute best in the dangerous art of extraction, stealing valuable secrets. And it's made him a coveted. And so, and he's given the job of the perfect heist of stealing, not stealing an idea, but to plant an idea using the whole power of dreams. Far out. I mean, who knew that was what was happening at the end? Who cared? Well, that may be next Christmas, if you can still bear doing this. We'll do our top five films.
Top five films?
Yeah, each. And we'll have to, well,
we could do it for a New Year show.
Good idea.
New Year show.
You're on fire.
Top five movies of all time.
Okay.
That's going to be tough.
Get thinking.